In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Word of God for our sermon on the name of wondrous love, the way, is recorded in Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. How do you plan a trip? How do you decide what highways you are going to take to your destination? Do you take out your GPS? Or are you like me and take out your MAP? But however we might choose to do that, most generally we don't just get in the car, turn on the engine, back out, and go without really thinking about the way to our destination. How about the way to heaven? How do we go about finding and knowing that way to the right hand of our Lord Jesus, at the right hand of our Father? Well, you and I know and confess the way, and that way is Jesus Christ. We learn from our earliest years that wonderful Word of God that Jesus spoke to His disciples in the upper room on Maundy Thursday evening. "I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me." This evening, as we look at names of wondrous love, we're going to look at that name, the way. For those who have lost their way, Jesus is the way to heaven. The two men who were crucified on either side of Jesus deserved to be on their crosses. They were getting what their crimes deserved. One man recognized that and freely admitted it after his cohort began to mock Jesus. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal, and here in Luke's gospel, they're referred to as criminals, literally bad workers or doers of bad things. Matthew calls them robbers, not really thieves who steal things when nobody's around, but robbers who are violent in their taking things from others. Some have suggested that these two men were perhaps part of Barabbas' insurrection, that he had tried to lead or had led and was in jail for. But regardless, the one criminal recognized his guilt. He recognized that he was getting what he deserved. He said, "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve." He and his partner on either side of Jesus were sinners who, in the eyes of God, in the eyes of the law, and maybe in the eyes of perhaps family members at the foot of their crosses, they had lost their way in this life. But not the one on the center cross. When that one criminal began his mockery of Jesus, the other criminal pointed to Jesus' innocence. We're getting what we deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. How did he come to that conclusion? Well, he had witnessed Jesus' silent suffering. He had heard Jesus cry out, "Father, forgive them," asking forgiveness for those very people who were crucifying him. I've always thought, personally, that it was very likely that he and Jesus had a more intimate or more personal one-on-one conversation while they were there on the cross. But whatever it was, the Holy Spirit led him to the conclusion that this man is indeed God, and that he is not guilty, that he had not lost his way like they had, and really didn't deserve to be there. But yes, Jesus did deserve to be there. And we spoke, or you heard, the reason why, as it's been printed every week in our bulletin. Jesus belonged on the cross because we all, like sheep, have gone astray. And each of us has gone his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We went on our way. We were going on our way to eternal damnation in hell because of our sins. But God our Father laid all those sins, all that guilt, all that punishment squarely down on his Son. He laid the sins of the whole world on Jesus, and hell extracted from him the full dues and payment for those sins. Jesus Christ was guilty and deserved to die. Not because he had lost his way, but because you lost your way. And I lost my way, and the whole world was going merrily on its way, away from God and away from heaven. And God provided the way for us to get back to God. We can take a few seconds this evening and stop and consider that repentant thief on the cross and see that we really are not all that much different than he. He was a sinner, lost his way, was on the way to hell, and God provided the way for him and for us to go to heaven the same way. We are not really any different from him, because God doesn't look at the sins of murder, robbery, insurrection as being worse than immorality or materialism or anger or any of the other sinful thoughts that we have in our daily lives. God doesn't grade sins. God's eyebrow doesn't go up in shock and disgust only over adultery and abortion, but also over spiritual laziness with the word, anger, harsh words that we speak to one another. All of us are just as guilty of sin, just as lost on our way as was that thief, that robber or murderer or whatever he was on the cross. It's when you really appreciate how lost you are that you appreciate somebody pointing the way, isn't it? One time when I was a senior at college, some of my friends who were already at the seminary I was over visiting them. We were going to go back to Watertown on Saturday for the football game. And I knew a shortcut away from the main highway back through the rolling hills of Wisconsin. And by the time we got really lost, we pulled up to a guy who was cutting his grass, and my friend who was driving, who was not thrilled with my shortcut, rolled down the window and asked, "How do you get to Watertown from here?" And the guy took off his hat, and rubbed his chin, and he said, "You know, it's blank near impossible." But then he showed us the way. Well, as I said, you know, the more lost you realize you are, the more you appreciate someone showing you the way. And how wise you are to use that way and go on that way. By God's grace, that criminal not only came to recognize that Jesus was an innocent man, but he also came to recognize that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And by God's grace, the Holy Spirit changed that man's heart so that he believed and trusted in Jesus as that way. Again, just exactly how that happened, we don't really know. Some have suggested that perhaps the man had been a believer in the promise of the Messiah as a young man and had lost his way, and now, late in life, came back and now recognized that Jesus was the fulfillment of God's promise of the Messiah. Or maybe he hadn't known any of that his whole life. But here, in the last hour, God, by grace, through the Holy Spirit, through a word of God, somehow, that this man heard from Jesus' lips, or before, perhaps, but through that word of God, this man was brought to saving faith in Jesus as the only way to heaven. For those sinners who have lost their way, Jesus is the only way to heaven. And so with the new eyes of faith, that man looked at Jesus and said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." What a simple request. Don't give me a throne. Don't give me a high position of honor. You know, just remember me. Just remember to give me a place with you in your kingdom. Don't shut the door on me. And I trust that you won't, because I see that you are my Savior from sin. That man was facing death and facing hell all alone, and that must have been truly terrifying. But now, at Jesus' side, holding hands with Jesus in faith, he knew that his Lord would remember him, because Jesus made that specific promise. "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Now, we don't put the "today" with "I tell you today" so that you can believe that there's some place that you have to go to before you go to heaven or before you can go to paradise. But he said, I'm telling you today you will be with me in paradise. Remember, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, or maybe last week, that usually took at least hours, but often days, to die on the cross. But Jesus told this man, soon you and I are going to be in heaven. Early that morning, the Romans had taken that criminal out of his cell to pay his final debt to society. Early in the afternoon, he too had been hung on a cross, most likely nailed also. Artists tend to try to make Jesus' suffering look worse by having him nailed and the criminals tied, but it's most likely that all three of them were attached the same. But now Jesus promised him that by evening his suffering would be over, that he would be in paradise, that he would be in heaven. We know, don't we, that later, this was a bit unusual to speed things up, at this point anyway, the Roman soldiers broke the man's legs to speed up his death, and then his body was laid in some grave somewhere, whether that was by his family or in a pauper's grave, we don't really know. But we know that his body is still there, waiting for that glorious day when his soul, now in heaven, when his body will be raised by the Lord Jesus when he returns and be reunited with his soul and then live forever body and soul in heaven. That man's soul went immediately to God and is in eternity at God's right hand even as we speak, according to Christ's promise. But now his body awaits that other glorious promise that we also have from our Savior. We know that the instant we die, that our souls will be with Jesus in heaven. And our bodies will rest wherever they may be until that day when Jesus returns and the trumpet sounds and our bodies rise from the dead, glorified, glorious in Christ, to be reunited with our souls. Jesus told his disciples, and he tells us, "I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is not merely a signpost, like along the road, that shows us the way to our destination. He is the road. He is the way. Jesus isn't a way or one way, along with many other ways, to get to heaven. He is the one and only way to his Father's house. With Jesus' death and resurrection, he has put us on the freeway to heaven, a way that is free for us because it asks nothing of us because it took everything from him. Amen.